14. Although we heard no more about the Finch family from Aunt Alexandra, we heard plenty from the town. On Saturdays, armed with our nickels, when Jim permitted me to accompany him, he was now positively allergic to my presence when in public, we would squirm our way through sweating sidewalk crowds and sometimes hear, "There's his chillin', or yonder some Finches." Turning to face our accusers, we would see only a couple of farmers studying the enema bags in the Mayco drugstore window, or two dumpy country women in straw hats sitting in a Hoover cart. "They can go loose and rape up the countryside for all of them who run this county care," was one obscure observation we met head-on from a skinny gentleman when he passed us, which reminded me that I had a question to ask Atticus. "What's rape?" I asked him that night. Atticus looked around from behind his paper. He was in his chair by the window. As we grew older, Jim and I thought it generous to allow Atticus 30 minutes to himself after supper. He sighed and said rape was carnal knowledge of a female by force and without consent. "Well, if that's all it is, why did Calpurnia dry me up when I asked her what it was?" Atticus looked pensive. "What's that again?" "Well, I asked Calpurnia coming from church that day what it was, and she said ask you, but I forgot to, and now I'm asking you." His paper was now in his lap. "Again, please," he said. I told him in detail about our trip to church with Calpurnia. Atticus seemed to enjoy it, but Aunt Alexandra, who was sitting in a corner quietly sewing, put down her embroidery and stared at us. "You all were coming back from Calpurnia's church that Sunday?" Jim said, "Yes'm, she took us." I remembered something. "Yes'm, and she promised me I could come out to her house some afternoon. Atticus, I'll go next Sunday if it's all right, can I? Cal said she'd come get me if you were off in the car." "You may not." Aunt Alexandra said it. I wheeled around, startled, then turned back to Atticus in time to catch his swift glance at her. But it was too late. I said, "I didn't ask you." For a big man, Atticus could get up and down from a chair faster than anyone I ever knew. He was on his feet. "Apologize to your aunt," he said. "I didn't ask her. I asked you." Atticus turned his head and pinned me to the wall with his good eye. His voice was deadly. "First, apologize to your aunt." "I'm sorry, Auntie," I muttered. "Now then," he said, "let's get this clear. You do as Calpurnia tells you. You do as I tell you. And as long as your aunt's in this house, you will do as she tells you. Understand?" I understood, pondered a while, and concluded that the only way I could retire with a shred of dignity was to go to the bathroom, where I stayed long enough to make them think I had to go. Returning, I lingered in the hall to hear a fierce discussion going on in the living room. Through the door, I could see Jim on the sofa with a football magazine in front of his face, his head turning as if its pages contained a live tennis match. "You've got to do something about her," Auntie was saying. "You've let things go on too long, Atticus. Too long." "I don't see any harm in letting her go out there. Cal would look after her there as well as she does here." Who was the her they were talking about? My heart sank. Me. I felt the starched walls of a pink cotton penitentiary closing in on me, and for the second time in my life, I thought of running away immediately. "Atticus, it's all right to be soft-hearted. You're an easy man, but you have a daughter to think of, a daughter who's growing up." "That's what I am thinking of. And don't try to get around it. You've got to face it sooner or later, and it might as well be tonight. We don't need her now. Atticus's voice was even. Alexandra, Calpurnia's not leaving this house until she wants to. You may think otherwise, but I couldn't have got along without her all these years. She's a faithful member of this family, and you'll simply have to accept things the way they are. Besides, sister, I don't want you working your head off for us. You've no reason to do that. We still need Cal as much as we ever did. But, Atticus, besides, I don't think the children have suffered one bit from her having brought them up. If anything, she's been harder on them in some ways than a mother would have been. She's never let them get away with anything. She's never indulged them the way most colored nurses do. She tried to bring them up according to her lights, and Cal's lights are pretty good. And another thing, the children love her. I breathed again. It wasn't me. It was only Calpurnia they were talking about. Revived, I entered the living room. Atticus had retreated behind his newspaper, and Aunt Alexandra was worrying her embroidery. Punk, punk, punk. Her needle broke the taut circle. She stopped and pulled the cloth tighter. Punk, punk, punk. She was furious. Jim got up and padded across the rug. He motioned me to follow. He led me to his room and closed the door. His face was grave. They've been fussing, Scout. Jim and I fussed a great deal these days, but I'd never heard of or seen anyone quarrel with Atticus. It was not a comfortable sight. Scout, try not to antagonize Auntie, hear? Atticus's remarks were still rankling, which made me miss the request in Jim's question. My feathers rose again. You trying to tell me what to do? Nah, he's got a lot on his mind now without us worrying him. Like what? Atticus didn't appear to have anything especially on his mind. It's this Tom Robinson case that's worrying him to death. I said Atticus didn't worry about anything. Besides, the case never bothered us except about once a week, and then it didn't last. That's because you can't hold something in your mind but a little while, said Jim. It's different with grown folks. His maddening superiority was unbearable these days. He didn't want to do anything but read and go off by himself. Still, everything he read, he passed along to me, but with this difference. Formerly because he thought I'd like it. Now, for my edification and instruction. Gee, crawling hova, Jim. Who do you think you are? Now, I mean it, Scout. You antagonize Annie and I'll spank you. With that, I was gone. You damn morphodite, I'll kill you. He was sitting on the bed, and it was easy to grab his front hair and land one on his mouth. He slapped me, and I tried another left, but a punch in the stomach sent me sprawling on the floor. It nearly knocked the breath out of me, but it didn't matter because I knew he was fighting. He was fighting me back. We were still equals. Ain't so high and mighty now, are you? I screamed, sailing in again. He was still on the bed, and I couldn't get a firm stance. So I threw myself at him as hard as I could, hitting, pulling, pinching, gouging. What had begun as a fist fight became a brawl. We were still struggling when Atticus separated us. That's all, he said. Both of you go to bed right now. Ta, I said to Jim. He was being sent to bed at my bedtime. Who started it? Asked Atticus in resignation. Jim did. He was trying to tell me what to do. I don't have to mind him now, do I? Atticus smiled. Let's leave it at this. You mind Jim whenever he can make you. Fair enough. Aunt Alexandra was present but silent. and when she went down the hall with Atticus, we heard her say, "Just one of the things I've been telling you about," a phrase that united us again. Ours were adjoining rooms. As I shut the door between them, Jim said, "Night, Scout." "Night," I murmured, picking my way across the room to turn on the light. As I passed the bed, I stepped on something warm, resilient, and rather smooth. It was not quite like hard rubber, and I had the sensation that it was alive. I also heard it move.